Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Hisham Tilawi coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. I have Byron with me on the phone, and he raised an excellent point that people on Air America and others will not touch Israel, but yet they will talk about Islam and talk about all that stuff. Before you continue, Byron, the reason behind that is if they do touch these subjects and if they do touch the Israeli subject, they will not be on the air anymore. So go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's a point I'm trying to make. If people think a change in government by electing the Democrats are going to make a difference in the Middle East, it's not. In fact, I would say the Democrats are probably under the control of AIPAC as much, if not more, than the Republicans are.
More.
Yeah. So there's not going to be a difference. And, you know, you said something a while ago, well, Bill Clinton, he wouldn't invade Iraq. But, you know, he probably, more Iraqis died under his administration through the sanctions, or as many anyway now, as you know, George Bush's.
True.
So both of them, there's probably approaching well over 2 million Iraqis have died now between the both administrations.
Just so, half a million Iraqi children died of malnutrition during the Clinton administration.
Yeah,
yes,
and,
right.
And they said there's probably that many of the elderly or more died too. So, I mean, you're probably looking well over 1 million that died in it.
But, by the way, Byron, when I mentioned that Clinton would not go for it, I was not like saying that he was a good man or taking his side. Yeah. But they did talk to Clinton about invading Iraq and removing Saddam, and he did not go for that one.
Right. This morning I was listening to C-SPAN, and I hope this don't get off the subject, and they were talking about Islamic extremism and how they attack it. You know, and I got thinking, how many times, I was thinking of like the 93 attack. Would that have taken place without the Americans, or was it the FBI or CIA, that put their man inside that group, showed him how to make the bombs, and then delivered the bombs to him, to blow up the World Trade Center? Would that have even happened if the American government wasn't involved in that?
When you start talking like that, Byron, people will, they're not going to believe you. They're not going to believe you that the FBI was involved in the 93 bombing of World Trade Center. But you see, once we start talking about this, even though it's true, Byron, people will start questioning our credibility because it's so huge for them to understand that the FBI could be involved in that.
I agree 100% with you. And that's sort of the other point. There's been so many different people on the 9/11 truth movement has come up with so many different angles of what caused the explosions, what brought the buildings down. And there's so many different things out there that there to me is sort of hurting our own cause. I don't know if we need to really find out or know that it was a micro, a bomb or whatever it was that brought the building down, as if there's something that happened that was probably under the control of the government. And I think that's the important thing. It's not maybe what necessarily brought the buildings down, but that the government's involvement that was in bringing those buildings down. And I think that's a problem that maybe we have. We get too many people trying to pinpoint down exactly what happened. And until there's a real investigation, I think it's going to be really hard.
Byron, your point is well taken. I appreciate your call. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in a couple of seconds.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who is responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites Congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the truth, the voice of the truth. I'm Hisham Tilawi, coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Byron raised a couple of points I just want to comment on, and then we'll go to Jeff, and we have other people waiting to talk to us too. You know, he did say there was a lot of people out there within this truth movement that basically coming up with a lot of theories, and I might add that there's a lot of people in this so-called truth movement, they were infiltrators, basically to spread lies and spread these out of space and Bigfoot theories and theories that does not listen. We don't know what the truth is. That's why it's called the truth movement. We have evidence. We have facts. We don't know what happened. Stephen Jones is an expert in his field. He gets to talk about physics. Pilots for 9/11 truth, they are experts, but they're not even speculating on what happened. And no one should speculate on what happened. No one should speculate if these planes were flown remotely. Now, we know the technology exists. We know you can fly an airplane remotely. We know that the pilots could not even fly a single-engine Cessna. We know all that. But we ask questions. But we're not going to say, because I was not in that plane to see if there was somebody remotely directing that plane. There are a lot of questions. And in this truth movement also, people always want to talk about the Jews, the Jews, the Jews. And you see, I want to caution everybody. There are a couple of writers out there. One that comes to mind is Kamensky. This man, anything, you know, he will write so much about the Jews without even writing any specific thing. Now, when I talk about the Jews, I'll name names. But for someone who was born as a Jew should not be criminalized and should not be guilty just for being a Jew. 76% of American Jews do not agree now with the war. They don't agree because they see what's happening. But 85% of American Jews were pro-war in the beginning, just like 85% of Americans were pro-war from the beginning. I'm talking about the average American out there. But for somebody being a Jew, and we're not anti-Jews here, but if these people are in policy-making positions, and collectively these people are Jews and they're influencing what is happening, then it's okay in my book to talk about them and say they are following a Jewish supremacist idea. That's where I draw the line. But when ignorant people who don't know much about the subject, but because they do have an audience out there that is taking in and gobbling what they write, the nonsense they write, these are the people that I say they need to get out of that movement, because these are the people who are the enemy of the truth movement. Some of them are ignorant. Some of them are infiltrating. Some of them are being paid. Some of them made a business of going after the Jews, the J word. But it's okay to talk about Jewish supremacism. There's nothing wrong with that. And name names and name events and say they did this and this is what they plan on doing it. But let's not just be out there writing articles without being specifics when we talk about that. I'll go to Jeff. Go ahead, Jeff. In Vermont, I believe.
Yes, how are you doing, Hisham Tilawi?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
I'm a big fan of yours. I think you do a great job. And
thank you, sir.
Advocating your position. You're totally right. People should approach this Jewish sensitivity, because it is kind of a sensitive subject, with, at least where I live. I mean, it's very, the word anti-Semite is thrown around like, you know, soda. You know, people throw that word around, even if you just question their existence, or not their existence, but question the way they want to do business in America, you know, with PNAC and AEI and AIPAC and all those things that they control. And what really is touchy is the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. And the way I look at it is the Palestinians are the last victims of World War II from Hitler. You know, that's the Jews were sent there apparently because of the Holocaust. I mean, regardless of what your position is on the Holocaust, I have my reservations about the whole deal. And that's one thing I wanted to touch on. I've been researching this a lot, and I'm not going to talk about numbers or gas chambers or anything like that, because I think that stuff is a very touchy subject. But the Holocaust itself reminds me of a religion. And you have your priests, the Simon Wiesenthal, Eli Wiesenthal, Deborah Lipstand, I'm not sure if I pronounce these right. You have your prophets with Shimon Peres, Benjamin Netanyahu, and those who warn about the Iranian Judo side to come. That has its commandments and dogmas, never again, 6 million. It has its rituals, memorial days, pilgrimages to Auschwitz. It establishes an order. And, you know, it just seems like, you know, then you have the Holocaust industry by Norman Finkelstein, where they're getting millions and billions of dollars. And I just don't think this is right, you know. I mean, I'm very sorry that this event happened, but, you know, it's just... Just when is enough enough? You know, the Palestinian people are are getting, you know, they're becoming a Holocaust by the Israelis. And what do you feel about that?
Oh, well, thank you for asking that question, Jeff. My position on the Holocaust is, now the term Holocaust, it just means a huge catastrophe where people have died. But unfortunately, it was only taken to mean the 6 million Jews who supposedly died in the concentration camps through gas chambers and et cetera, et cetera. My position on it is I'm not denying that people died in World War II. I'm not denying that Jews were rounded up and put in these concentration camps, but I don't have enough information to say how many people died. And by the way, if we were in Germany now, I will have to say, yes, I accept the fact that 6 million Jews died. Otherwise, I will be in jail, just like Ernest Zindel and Germer Rudolph. And, the Holocaust was basically the it was what gave the Jews through the world and by the world the reason to go and take over a country that belonged to people who are, by the way, Christians and Muslims, not just Muslims. A lot of people forget the fact that Jesus came from Palestine, and there are still there Palestinians who are of the Christian religions. Their numbers are dwindling, and Bethlehem is being caged in as we speak with 25-foot-high concrete wall, and people cannot go in and out of Bethlehem. Now, the Holocaust and what it had benefited, of course, you know, any time now, and the weapon that you said, you know, where you're from, actually it's not just in Vermont, it's everywhere, where people are scared to death of being labeled as anti-Semites or anti-Semitic, because they will be, their lives will be destroyed totally. If they're in business, their business will be destroyed. If they're in government, look at what happened to John Sharp, the Catholic publisher. He is the he's the public relation lieutenant commander, John Sharp, the public relations on the Carl Vinson. He was suspended from his job because he was labeled as an anti-Semite just because he published a couple of books basically telling the truth about the Neocon. His books are Neocon and Neocon again. And because of these books and because of his position as an American Christian, Catholic American, he was suspended because somebody thought that he was an anti-Semite. So it's definitely a weapon that must be destroyed, and the only way we can destroy it is to basically not be afraid of it. Let them label us, but we will say, look, but you know what? Those ignorant people who are out there writing articles about how horrible the Jews are without submitting specific reasons and specific evidence of who you are talking about, and let's deal with that person as he is. Let's not accuse of the Jew who was born today as being a Jewish supremacist. That is crazy, and it's nonsense, and it does not help this movement at all, and it will continue to fuel and make stronger this weapon of anti-Semitism.
Yeah, I think Theodore Herzl said that anti-Semitism will be our best friend. And
of course.
I don't think it's fair that this race of people have a weapon like that. You know, the white people don't have a weapon like that. You know, the black people don't have a weapon like that. I mean,
nobody in the history of the world, Jeff, ever had a weapon like that, a nonsense weapon, and it's so effective. No one. And you know something? It will end up coming back and biting the innocent, because a lot of Jews now are in the United States and around the world, they're saying stop. They're talking to AIPAC and they're talking to these cronies and neocons saying stop doing things in our name because this is going to hurt us. If I was a Jew, I will really be worried and I will be concerned about what the future have for me, because once the truth gets out there to the American people, it is going to be a disastrous, and that's what we need to stop it. We need to stop it because innocent people will end up getting hurt, and it needs to be stopped.
And you're totally right. This whole thing with 9/11, I'm kind of leaning towards, and I think I've already made up my mind. Larry Silverstein is definitely behind this. Him and Frank Lowy, Mark Rich, Benjamin Netanyahu, Sharon. I mean, these people were in on it.
Jeff, I appreciate the call. Okay. We're coming to the end of this segment. Appreciate it. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are continuing this talk about the truth and about what happened on 9/11. But after I go to the next call, we might talk about a little bit about Palestine and what happened back in 1948. There was a massacre called the Deir Yassin massacre that took place on April 9th, 1948. We will talk a little bit about it. But I'm going to go to Sophie. On the West Coast. Go ahead, Sophie.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you
so much. I have a couple of issues. The first one is I think I'm going to tend to disagree with the last caller. I think his name was Jeff,
okay.
who said that the European Jews arrived in Palestine due to the Holocaust. My opinion is that they would have arrived with or without the Holocaust. If people read Theodor Herzl's diary, we see him attempting desperately to bribe the Sultan. As a matter of fact, he mentions the amount of £1 million he says, would the Sultan take £1 million for Palestine? And so my opinion is that Palestine was stolen due to the amount of Jewish money, and with or without the Holocaust, it would have been taken. That's where I'm going to end it.
And what's the second issue?
Okay, my second issue is really the major one, is you've mentioned many, many times the document called the Zionist Plan for the Middle East.
I didn't. Okay, do you know the name of that document?
Okay, that's the one that you that was translated by Israel Shahak.
By Israel Shahak, yes, that is okay. the strategy for Israel in the 1980s.
Okay, the way people to access it on the internet is they need to type in the Zionist plan for the Middle East. That's the way to access it.
Okay.
The Zionist, and so I really would like to stress to your audience to get this document. This document is so extremely relevant to what is happening in Iraq. As a matter of fact, your audience would find it very shocking, because what is written in this document is what really has taken place in Iraq. And if you would allow me, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah,
go
okay.
ahead.
If you would allow me, I would just like to read just one paragraph. And,
go ahead.
And I'll be done. A paragraph from this extremely essential document that everyone should read, the Zionist Plan for the Middle East. Okay, so I'm going to read a paragraph. Here we go. Iraq, rich in oil on the one hand and internally torn on the other, is guaranteed as a candidate for Israelist targets. Its dissolution is even more important for us, the Israeli
Israel.
Jews, than that of Syria. Iraq is stronger than Syria. In the short run, it is Iraq's power which constitutes the greatest threat to Israel. An Iraqi-Iranian war will tear Iraq apart and cause its downfall at home, even before it's able to organize a struggle on a wide front against us, the us being the Israelis. Every kind of inter-Arab confrontation will assist us in the short run and will shorten the way to the more important aim of breaking up Iraq into denominations as in Syria and Lebanon. In Iraq, a division into provinces along ethnic, religious lines as in Syria during the Ottoman times is possible. So three or more states will exist around the three major cities, Basra, Baghdad, Mosul. The Shiite area in the south will separate from the Sunni and Kurdish north. It is possible that the present Iranian-Iraqi confrontation will deepen this polarization. And lastly, the entire Arabian Peninsula is a natural candidate for dissolution due to internal and external pressures. I'm going to stop here. And all I'm going to say is, for people who read this document, they cannot miss the parallels of what has taken place in Iraq and what was written in this document. And once again, I'm going to mention the name of the document for people to go to their website, the Zionist Plan for the Middle East, translated by a Jewish person, by the way, Israel Shahak. And I thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Sophie. The document that Sophie brought up, and she's saying that it's easier to go and find it on the Internet under the Zionist Plan for the Middle East. The title for it, the original title, was Israel's Strategy in the 1980s. That was translated by Israel Shahak, and we have talked about that particular document on this program and on my television program, by the way, that you can get it at www.currentissues.tv. It broadcasts live on Tuesday afternoon or Tuesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. Central Time, and you can catch it on the website, www.currentissues.tv. She's bringing up an excellent point that if you want to understand what is going on in the Middle East today, go back and read this 1980 document that was translated by Israel Shahak. And she's right on target. And when we come back, I'll comment on her first disagreement with Jeff. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free 888-699-NEWS or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Current Issues, the radio show. I'm your host, Hisham Tilawi, and we will continue with the subject, and I want to talk about the Deir Yassin massacre back in 1948. But before I do that, Sophie raised an excellent point about the document. She said that the Zionist plan in the Middle East, but also she disagreed with Jeff, which I really don't see it as a disagreement. I think both of them were very much saying, Jeff did not say the whole thing, and I think she complimented what Jeff said. It is true that the Zionist movement wanted to go and take over Palestine before World War II and before. But remember, their influence went way back, and that in 1917, Lord Balfour, who's the British foreign minister at that time, he basically gave Palestine to the Jews with the infamous Balfour Promise, which said that Her Majesty's government basically wanted to give create a homeland in Palestine for the Jews. This was way back in 1917. So definitely what Sophie is saying, that they did not go there because of the Holocaust, but the Holocaust was the single most important factor of why Israel became a state and why the world had looked at the Jews coming from Europe after World War II to Palestine. And by the way, the Palestinians in the beginning, there were Jewish settlements in Palestine even during the Ottoman Empire. I'm talking about way back in the 1890s. That's when they started going there very slowly. And after the war, after the so-called Holocaust, the Jews did go in scores to Palestine, and the Palestinians did not, and I reaffirm and emphasize, they did not reject the Jews who were fleeing Nazi Germany to come to Palestine. They opened up their homes for them. They looked upon them as victims, and they accepted them. And that's what you get for accepting and taking someone into your own home. And that's exactly what happened. But the world decided that Israel to become a state for the Jews, if it was not for the Holocaust, probably it would either have taken a long time before it became a state, or it would never even became a state, because you would not have had too many people, a lot of people going to Palestine and fleeing Germany and other parts of Europe. Which brings us to the point, you know, was this Holocaust thing all prompted up just so it can help the then Zionist movement to become a state? And because remember, they did not have the support of the Jewish people. The Zionist movement did not have the support of the Jewish people before. Until after the Holocaust, that's when people started looking at the Zionist movement as the one who represent them and speak in their name. So Jeff is right, and Sophie is right, but the Holocaust took place, or the state of Israel became a state in speedy way because of the Holocaust. Now, back in 1948, just to give you a little bit, I want to read like a little story, but about this particular massacre where Jewish terrorists, those who fled from Germany and those who came and migrated to Palestine from Poland, mainly from Poland and other parts in Europe, they basically became known as the terrorists back then, the Argonne and the Stern Gang and the Argonne. They're basically the sort of Al-Qaeda of today in the Western world. They were known to be terrorists. Now, what did these people do? Back in 1948, during the spring of 1948, Hind Hosseini, who coordinated the establishment of Arab children's centers in Jerusalem, found it increasingly difficult to move about the war-torn city. The morning of April 9 resounded with volleys and of gunfire, marking the solemn funeral of her cousin Abdul Qadir Hosseini, the charismatic leader of the Palestinian resistance. He had died the day before in a six-day battle to regain Kastel, an Arab fortress overlooking Jerusalem. Now this most revered of all Palestinian fighters was being buried at the sacred Haram Sharif. This was the biggest blow the Palestinians had so far sustained. As the Palestinians stopped shooting their precious bullets into the air and began to mourn the sudden loss of Abdul Qadir, ominous rumors began to spread of a massacre. The atrocities mentioned in whispers were more horrible than the bereft Arabs could comprehend, and they seemed to be taking place that very morning on the western outskirts of the city near Kastel. Few hours later, Arab authorities announced Jewish terrorists had attacked the village of Deir Yassin in hope of inciting neighboring Arab governments to come to their aid. They graphically described the slaughter of Deir Yassin's civilians inhabitants. The Arab governments did not respond, but tragically, the Palestinian peasants did and began to make a mass exodus from their homeland to the Jordanian border. Hind huddled close to the radio in her two-room apartment in the Souq al-Hamman neighborhood of East Jerusalem. She realized the massacre of this magnitude meant all-out war. She did not go to her office the next morning as coordinator of the Arab Women's Union. However, when the level of gunfire sporadically abated, she ventured outside. Turning the corner, the horror of the massacre of Deir Yassin hit her full force as she beheld several bloodied children huddled against a wall. "Oh, my darlings, what happened? Are you hurt? What is this? You have no shoes. Why are you in night clothes?" The shivering children were too frightened to cry. They stared at her in wide-eyed horror, unable to describe the atrocities they had witnessed. Picking up the two youngest, Hind gently whispered to the dirty, frightened children to follow her. It was bitterly cold even at midday on that April 10th morning. Hind unlocked the door of her apartment and motioned to the frightened children to follow her inside. She gently lowered the toddlers into her bed, rushed to bring blankets from a closet, and began to heat water for bathing. Now that they knew they were safely in the hands of an adult who spoke Arabic, but dressed differently than the women of Deir Yassin, the children began to whimper. Mohammed, the oldest, told him that he had hid under his parents' bed when the terrorist entered his home. He had heard his mother scream for a long time. From his hiding point, he had seen the bodies of his sisters and brothers fall to the floor. The house had been looted. Several times, hands had pulled out old clothes and shoes from under the bed. But he had not been detected. For the rest of the day and into the night, the little boy had heard groans and cries, gunshots, screeching tires, and the strange guttural sounds of the intruders. At daybreak, the bodies that lay in his house were pulled out. When he saw his mother's lifeless body being dragged by its heels like a sack of wheat, sobs uncontrollably came out of his throat. A terrorist reached under the bed, touched him, pulled him from his hiding place, and roughly walked him to a truck where several other children were holding onto one another. One 8-year-old girl was soaked in blood. Muhammad feared she had been wounded. He did not want her to die in this truck. Barely able to speak, she told him her name was Thuraya and assured him she wasn't wounded. Her aunt had protectively hid her behind them when the terrorist entered their house. The women had been stabbed, their gold earrings and gold bracelets forcibly removed. But Thuraya had remained safe and protected by their bodies, which fell over her and which she felt stiffen over the hours. It was only when one of the terrorists turned to make sure that the jewelry had been removed from the corpses that she had been found and taken to the truck. Hind bathed Muhammad and dried him with a warm towel. Then, grasping his arms inside her tightly clenched fists, she looked directly into his eyes and pledged, "You will never, ever be alone again, I swear." For the ensuing week, Hind worked with Adnan Tamimi to locate the surviving children of Deir Yassin, 55 in all. In light of brutality of the attack by the Argonne and String Gang militias, it was surprising to some that so many had been spared. Trucks had dispatched the children to the Muslim quarter, where they had been dumped on the street corners. Long before the massacre of Deir Yassin, which would have become the major milestone in her life, Hind had put aside thoughts of marriage as she watched her homeland crumble under the onslaught of European Jews. The Husseini family of Jerusalem was about as close to aristocracy as Islam recognizes. Her father, a judge, had died when she was 2 years old. Being the only daughter of a family of five boys, she was pampered to the extent of preparing to pursue a higher education, but protected in the sense that it was deemed unwise for her to attend a university in Europe with World War II approaching. After she completed high school at the English College of Girls in Jerusalem in 1937, she began teaching at the Islamic Girls' School. She again broke with tradition when she left the family compound to live in her own apartment after she accepted a post in 1945 with the United Women's Society organization. Now, this pioneering Palestinian feminist realized it was time to return to the family home with her 55 babies. She had only 135 Palestinian pounds, that's like dollars, in the bank. But Hind wrote in her journal, "I will live with these children or I will die with them." Hind's family was sympathetic to her calling. They turned over to her the elegant Dar Husseini, or the Husseini House, a house her grandfather had built in 1891 and in which she had been born on April 25, 1916. So on her 32nd birthday, just 2 weeks after the massacre of Deir Yassin, Hind renamed the stately mansion Dar al-Tifl, or Children's House. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the massacre of Deir Yassin is a milestone that people need to understand so they will understand why the Palestinians, that was one reason of why the Palestinians left. There were two reasons of why the Palestinians left. One, after the massacre of Deir Yassin and after they heard what the Jewish terrorists have done, where they killed women, men, elderly, children. They even, if a woman was pregnant, they even with daggers and knives took the babies out of their mother's wombs. This stuff is documented. You can go on the internet and read about the massacre of Deir Yassin to see the brutality of the Jewish people in Palestine is that continues until today. Massacres in Palestinians' homes go on while the world is watching. We have no idea what happened in the Holocaust. We know a lot of people died. But there is a Holocaust that is going on right now in Palestine, right in front of our eyes and the world, because of the influence that these Zionists have on world governments, those that count, and many that don't even count. But because of this influence, the world is turning a blind eye to what's going on in Palestine. Excuse me. The second reason the Palestinians left is they were forcefully, just like in some villages, and it depended on the commander of that terrorist group that went to that particular village. Some of them were forced to leave under the gun. Some of them were lined up against a wall in the town square and shot. A lot of them, men, women, and children, they were put up in one house, and the house was blown up with men, women, and children inside. The Deir Yassin massacre is not the only massacre that took place. But when this happened, the Palestinians left Palestine. Some of them did remain in Palestine back in 1948. And now they are called the Israeli Arabs, which there is about a million of them now, amongst 5 million Jews. And they are being treated. If you think racism exists in the United States, or it existed in South Africa or any part of the world, you have not seen what racism is until you see what is happening, the racism and the apartheid system that is taking place in Palestine and in Israel proper too. This is why it is we as Americans, we do hold a huge responsibility to what's happening in the world. We are a democracy. We are a representative government. There's a little bit, I'm not going to go through the difference between a representative government and a democracy, because most people understand representative government. They understand it much easier when we say a democracy. But we have a system. We're supposed to have a system that is governed by the Constitution of the United States that says we, the people, have representatives to go and represent us in our government to take care of our interest first, America's interest first. But we have this political system that we have today. It has evolved into who can buy more senators and more congressmen, who can put money in the system. And the Jews in the United States are putting the money in the system. And this is why AIPAC can control our congressmen and women. If any one of you wants to know how AIPAC controls it, just think of what happened with James Abu Rizek from South Dakota, the senator from South Dakota. Think of what happened with Cynthia McKinley out of Georgia. Think of what happened with a lot of people who just criticized Israel, and the next election, they were not there. We will be back in a couple of minutes to wrap up.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
People who use Cardivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cardivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cardivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cardivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well thought out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cardivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Welcome back. back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Hisham Tilawi coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Just to wrap up, about the political system that we find ourselves in, it is no longer you and I who elect our officials. It is somebody else that gives us a particular person or persons to choose from after they have filtered through the AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committees, CIV, and they give them to us, and we choose one out of the two that they have approved. The only, besides having a revolution in this country, I don't see any other way of getting rid of this system unless we can get our officials, our legislators, to say no to these interest groups like AIPAC. AIPAC must be registered in the United States as a foreign agent. A foreign agent will not be able by law to exert any pressure on our legislatures. They will be breaking the law. That's the number one that we can do, besides a revolution. A revolution is going to take a long time, and it will never happen. It will be protected, or the opposition will be protected, because you are talking about removing the systems that are oppressing the people right now. So the only thing we can do right now is to try to get the right people in the right place. I can tell you, in my opinion, there are two people out there that can do the job, but I doubt if they will even get enough publicity in the media. Because remember, the media is also being influenced by the same group. The only way we can do it is to get the right people. There are two people in my mind, Ron Paul of Texas, that is one great man, and Dennis Kucinich of Ohio, that's another great man who is not being given the time of day to tell the American people who he is, and how long these two people, one of them is a Democrat and the other one is a Republican, to see how, you know what, I would love to see, but of course it will not happen because our system has changed where the vice president will be on the same ticket. But before, we used to actually elect president and elect a vice president, and the president may not have anything to say or do with who his vice president was, but that was changed, of course. But I tell you what, I would love to see Ron Paul as president and Dennis Kucinich as his vice. I think we will have a good country, but, I mean, wishful thinking. I don't believe that will ever happen. I really think we will end up with one of these cronies that you see, which will, one of the callers, I think it was Brian, the first caller, who said, or maybe Jeff, who said, that it does not matter if we have Republicans or Democrats. And I can tell you what, he is right. He's absolutely right. It does not really matter. What we're seeing here, where the Democrats are opposing the war, remember, the Democrats were very much going along with the war in Iraq, and now it's a political platform. They have decided that if we oppose the war, we will be more popular with the people, and we stand a chance. You know, you've seen when they opposed the war, they picked up the House and the Senate, and they're very much counting on the same formula. Not that they believe in it or it's the right thing to do, but it's the right thing to do for them so they can reach and be the next, put the man in the White House. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next Saturday, 4 o'clock. Be here. We will be here. Go do the right thing.